Today, we're going to look at a subject that's a little bit heavier. We're going to be talking about what happens when you die. What happens when you die? There's no way to make this sound pretty until the end. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not pretty unless you're a Christian. So we're going to look at this. I like to go over this every now and then. So I encourage you to write some of these scriptures down. You can share them with your friends and family and maybe help them if they need it. But like I say, I know death is really a heavy subject to have to deal with. But have you ever wondered really what happens when you die? I mean, maybe you don't think about it much, but I sometimes get called into funerals and different things, and I've lost loved ones myself. And, you know, one second you're here, and the next second you're gone. You know, I remember being in the room when my dad passed away. I mean, one second he was there, and after that, I just knew he was gone. All that was left was that shell. So what really happens then? You know, do we go to sleep in the grave? That used to bug me as a kid a little bit, like I've shared before. That didn't sound very fun to me. There is a denomination or so that believes that way, but the Bible teaches against that. Now, Job said, if a man dies, will he live again? You know, that's a good question. See, our beliefs in death, you know, have an influence on how we're going to live our life. And it influences the decisions that we make and what we do. You know, some people, you know, put it out of their mind purposely and just ignore it and never have to deal with it, you know, until maybe somebody in the family passes away. But I think we need to really address, you know, somewhat the elephant in the room. And the elephant is that everybody's going to die sometime. I don't want to bust your bubble. Now, there is hope for the rapture generation, we call it. You know, when Jesus comes for the church, if we're alive then we don't have to go through that corridor, shall we say, and to deal, you know, with the concept of death. Now, we need to get an exit plan. I think you got to have an exit plan. And I don't mean just plan out your funeral, which I think you should. You know, that's a good idea to get it prepaid if you can. But I mean, we need to plan out our eternity and really what God says in the Word, because He goes into it quite in depth, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the encouraging move of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. I thank You, Holy Spirit, You're the teacher, You're the revealer, You're the one who quickens us. Lord, I pray just for that quickening today in each of our mortal bodies. But also, Lord, I yield to the gift that You give me from the foundations of the earth that You placed inside of me, Lord. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. Lord, we thank You for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to cover quite a bit of territory today. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture. I'm not going to do as much expounding, I hope. I'm going to try to keep it down a little bit. But, you know, we're going to throw a lot of info at you today. I encourage you to write these Scriptures down and to maybe go over them again and look them over. I think it's good. Maybe there might be some terms you've never heard before, and that's possible. Maybe some wording or stuff. So jot that down. Talk to me about it, or you can Google it, right? Everything you can find on the internet, right? No, just kidding. You better talk to me. Some of that stuff on there is crazy. Now, Benjamin Franklin said, there's two things that are certain, death and taxes, right? How many pay their taxes? How many knows the government needs to function? You know, it's a bummer, ain't it, sometimes, but they need their stuff. But we also, death is it. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And here's God talking to Adam. And He said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Okay, that's kind of heavy. Now, understanding, there was no death at this time. They didn't know what that was. You know, it's a new concept. Now, man had one major rule from God, and he broke it. That's how we are, isn't it? We break God's rules. Now, to me, sinning willfully is kind of a deal breaker for God. It says so in Hebrews, right? If we choose to sin willfully, and that's something we need to not do, and that's what man did when he chose to eat of the fruit. Now, when God said they would eat from the forbidden tree, they would die. Well, they ate from the fruit, they grabbed it, but they ate it, but they didn't drop over dead. So I'm sure that was kind of confusing for them. As it is for me, is God a liar? Did they die? What does that all mean? And how do we kind of rationalize that in our own mind in what God's doing? See, there's two kinds of death that we have to understand. And everybody needs to understand this. And you can tell this to your friends and loved ones, you know, at next family reunion. Hey, let's talk about death. No, just kidding. But, you know, there's some things you can really inform them, and I think it'll help us make some good decisions. See, physical death and spiritual death is the two deaths that we're going to look at, but primarily, they were not in God's original plan. And see, what happened, though, when sin came into mankind, it ushered both of those in. Number one, we know that this body that we live in is going to expire. It's going to wear out. It's going to die. Now, back in the day when Adam was around, they lived hundreds of years. But now, due to different things, and, you know, we don't want to go off into that. I want to get off on any tangents today. But usually we live, you know, hopefully 70, 80 years, sometimes longer, sometimes less. Now, I'm 60 now, so I'm starting to measure that out. You know what I mean? As you get older, you think about that. When I was a kid, you know, I'd jump off a tree and didn't worry about dying or nothing. You know, now I look around the corner, you know. You just know that that's out there. I'm not afraid to die, but, you know, I don't want to hurry it along either. I got stuff to do yet. So what happened here is the idea is our body right now has an expiration date. Now, some of y'all watch expiration dates at the store, don't you? I mean, my wife's pretty fanatical about that stuff. Me, I figure, it'll probably be okay. You know, I roll the dice sometimes, but, you know, sometimes she's pretty fanatical. Now, in the church refrigerator here, yeah, I do throw that away because I don't want to make some people sick. You know, there's some things in there, been in there 3 or 4 years. You know, some different dressings and stuff like that, you know, it's got milk in it. So, you know, I get rid of that, you know, because I love you guys and I don't want you to get sick or nothing. But this body that we have is prone to injury and pain. You know, how many know that those things kind of happen? And eventually, you know, we will die. Now, spiritual death, what that is what we got to understand is the fact that spiritual death is separation from God. And that's what happened when sin entered mankind. It made a break between us and God. And that's what happened to Adam. He did not die physically right at that moment, although he ushered death into mankind. But what happened at the moment he rebelled against God and did not follow God's commandment, he died spiritually. He was separated. Remember, the Bible talks about him hiding from God. He was ashamed. All these different things came into life. And that wasn't supposed to be. But it's here now. And that's what we have to deal with. We have to kind of pick up the pieces of this broken world. And there's a lot of brokenness in this world. A lot of people dealing with a lot of big time pain. And, you know, we have the answers as the church. And so we need to be able to have this knowledge so that we can share it with them. So if we understand what spiritual death is, then we can kind of deal with it. See, we were created in the image of God. God is a spirit and we're a spirit being. But when sin came into mankind, the Bible says explicitly in many places that sin separates us from God. And see, there's nothing that you and I can do about it because we can't fix ourselves. We're so broken, we can't fix ourselves. A lot of times we try to fix ourselves or we try to manage the pain. How many's tried to manage the pain? I did. You know, through partying and through all these different things to not have to deal with it. But finally, we have to come to the place that only God can fix us because He's the one who made us. Now what happened, I think we understand the term what divorce means, but what happened when Adam and Eve sinned, they divorced themselves from God. They brought a separation. And Satan got custody of the kids, if you know what I'm saying. He got custody of us. And so we need to break that. We need to get back, you know, not just visitation rights with God, but we need to, you know, let Him have full support, you know what I mean? Get back into His relationship. And see, we're born dead now. And that's why the Bible says that we must be born again. And most of you probably already know that, but it's important that we really understand it. See, the spirit and soul, the inside of us, is eternal. This body is going to expire. This body is going to go to the dust, you know. I was thinking about this the other day. We're just a bunch of dirt balls, right? We're a dirt ball. Because God formed man from the dirt. But then what changed it is that He breathed life. And that's the life that you and I need, is the life of God. And how important it is to embrace that life and to do whatever we can to enhance that relationship with God. Like I said, the spirit and soul is eternal. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the outer man and the inner man. You know, the inner man is the spirit and soul, and that's what really matters. That's what's going to be eternal. That's what's going to live forever. And that's why we need to decide where that's going to be. Now, the Bible says, I just want to clarify a few points so we understand it. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, man is appointed to die, and then come the judgment. So there is no second chances. There is no reincarnation. There is no purgatory, shall we say, where you get to go and then maybe somehow you can get yourself out of there. No, it's the decisions that we make today before we take our last breath is the ones that are important. And that's why, you know, we need to make sure that we have a working understanding about this. You know, God is love, but He's also just. You know, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what God's Word says, right? There's a lot of people many people here have different opinions about different things. We all do. We're different. But I tell you what makes us unified is the fact that we should revolve the final say. You know, the old show, is that your final answer? Well, see, our final answer needs to be God's Word. It's got to be the Bible. See, mankind has changed. They call it evolution. I call it de-evolution, in the sense where we de-evolved in our mind and in our thinking on how we interpret the world and the information around us. And it's really become a problem, you know, especially, you know, in our culture. That's why it's important that we get back to God's Word. Now, I have some good news, and I have some bad news. I assume you want the bad news first, right? That way we can end on the good news. So the bad news is, first we're going to look at the death of a sinner. What happens to a sinner? We were all born sinners, separated from God, right? And then we're born again, so we're going to get to our stuff a little bit later. And if you're not saved yet today, we're going to give you an opportunity here in a little bit. I know the importance of what it means to be born again. Now, being born again means that you've passed from death to life. Now, we're going to look at a passage in Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I usually don't like reading long passages, but this is a very good parable that Jesus was explaining, and it kind of shows the picture of a couple people, what happens to them when they died. You know what I mean? So we're going to look at that. So it begins in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I wasn't going to get sock puppets to make it more interesting, but all my socks had holes in them. So, no, I'm just kidding. I got a couple good pair. I thought that joke would really go over better today. It went really good in my mind, but evidently not. All right. It says, now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus, and laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, that's a key part, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I'm in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that they may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Now, that's a mouthful, but hopefully it's very picturesque in our mind. It shows us really what happens at death and all the implications that are involved with what we do with what we have. Now, I want to mention one thing. This word here in the Greek is mentioned Hades. In the Old Testament, it's called Sheol. Sheol, that's the Hebrew word for it. So we're looking at Hades right now. That's the Greek word for this area. Now, this was written in the New Testament, right? But it's really an Old Testament picture for one reason. Jesus had not died on the cross and rose from the dead yet. And I want to throw this out there. When you're looking through the Gospels and things like that, make sure you don't look at it from the idea that the cross had already taken place, because it hadn't. So you got to look at it from the perspective that Jesus was going to the cross. He hadn't went through the cross yet. So this kind of tells what happened to each and every person that died before Jesus went to the cross. In Hades, there is a place down there, and it's separated by a chasm. On one side, you have the sinners, and the other side, you have the saints. Evidently, they could converse with each other for whatever reason. And during this time, now what amazed me was this rich man, just, you could tell his personality. He was telling, hey, go have Lazarus do this. Hey, let Lazarus get me this. I don't know. I mean, still bossing people around while he's down in hell. I mean, that just always stuck out to me as just crazy. But the idea here is what happens when, now the good thing is we notice that Lazarus was escorted by angels to his place of resting. I don't know if that still happens, but it should bring some sort of comfort. It might happen that way. And we're going to look in a minute what really happens to Christians, whether angels escort you or not. But, you know, we're going to look at the idea of absent from the body, present with the Lord, just to put a spoiler alert out there. But what this is showing us is the fact that if we're a believer, we're not alone when we die. And that's important that we understand that. It should bring some level of comfort into our lives. I mean, our loved ones that go on to be with the Lord, you know that they're not alone at the time of their passing. I know that bothers some people, you know, if they're not with them, you know, when they pass away. You know, I've, you know, watched several people expire or their body give out. And, you know, it is a tough situation, but for a Christian, it does bring so much comfort, you know, knowing, you know, that they're not alone, you know, in that endeavor and what they're going through. See, the sinners were in torment. Now, I want you to remember that. It's evidently not a good place. He said he was in agony, said there was kind of a fire. Evidently, he needed a little dip of water. So evidently, and I want you to throw this out there, there's a worse place coming. This is this holding hell. You know what I mean? This is the holding place. There's a worse hell coming for the sinner. You say, that's mean. No, that's just the way it is. And that's why choices are very important. God is love, but he's also just. And we're going to look at that here in a moment. So each one could not cross over. It wouldn't help if somebody rose from the dead and tried to warn the friends. You know, back when I was a heathen, you know, I just didn't know any better. And I, you know, some people would say, you know, I want to go to hell so all my friends are there. Well, this here proves that's not true. If you're in hell, you don't want your friends to come, right? So, and if we're here on earth, we should not want our friends to go there. So that's why we need to be a little more evangelistic, right? You know, hey, this is a lot more fun than it looks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the idea of what God's wanting us to do here. Another scripture, Matthew 25:41 says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. See, in God's original intention, he never planned for man to be separated from him. He never planned for hell. But hell was created originally for the devil and his angels. Because remember, we don't want to go into this too much, but remember Satan rebelled against God in heaven and he was cast down, right? You know, the five I Ams, I think it was, where Satan thought he was equal to God. So he got booted out of heaven. So hell was created as a place of torment and punishment for the rebellion. Well, then along came man. And man fell to Satan's temptation. So now we rebelled against God, so that's why we have to go to hell if we choose not to fix the problem. You know, I'm all in favor of fixing the problem. because God sent Jesus to fix the problem. There's no reason we should have that problem. Well, it says here in this passage, and hope you look these scriptures up, hope you're jotting them down, it's talking about the sheep and goats. Now, there's certain species of sheep and goats over in Israel and stuff that they look kind of similar. I suppose their hair got all growed out and things like that, so they look kind of similar to each other. And what was different here in this passage of Scripture, and I never read the whole thing, was that their lifestyles were different. You know, some chose to go and be a blessing to others that had need. Some chose to not be a blessing to others that had need. The difference between a sheep and a goat is that one lived selflessly while another lived selfishly. So God doesn't want us to live selfishly just for ourselves. I encourage you, I know you can't do everything for everybody, I believe that, you know, you'll burn yourself out. But how many know the Holy Ghost? You know, there's that touch inside when he tells us, hey, we should go help this person, we should go do this thing. Do not reject that feeling. That feeling is from God. And if we go and respond, then there's a blessing on the other side. It's important we do that. But, like I say, you can't help everybody. There's a lot of poor people out here in the world, and we can't help them all. But I do believe that God touches us and lets us know. Now, the truth is that if we're going to preach about heaven, and that's what some people just preach about, we also must preach about hell, because hell is a real place. I wish it wasn't a place, but it is a place. And there's that old song, I remember it, when we all get to heaven. That's not true. I did pretty good on that, didn't I? With my limited abilities. Not everybody's going to get to heaven. That's just the fact. The Bible even calls it a remnant. The Bible says narrow is the way. So, don't assume or presume, but we need to make sure for sure. Okay? Now, hell was created for the devil, so we don't want to go there with him. Now, I'm going to move quite along here. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, and the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is," this is a good book, "the book of life. And the dead were judged according to things which are written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up their dead which was in them. And they were judged. And every one of them according to their deeds." Then it says here, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So, that's kind of a heavy thing, but that's really what's going to happen at the end of days, is the idea that there's going to be this final judgment. Now, the great white throne judgment is something that Christians will not sit in front of, because Jesus Christ took our place, right? If you're born again, that means Jesus Christ is your substitute. So Jesus took the judgment for you, and that's what he did on the cross. And when he shed his blood, that blood redeemed us or purchased us back. So we don't have to go through the great white throne judgment. Those who rejected Christ are in Hades now, if they've died, and they're awaiting this judgment. Bummer. Big bummer. Because then, once they stand before this judgment, they're going to fail. Then it says they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is, it's the Greek word there is Gehenna, which is the lake of fire. I know it's not, I'm sorry, but it's not that, you know, but it's just, you know, what truth is. And so that's why we need to be more evangelistic, because we love people, we want nobody to go there. See, it doesn't matter if someone is a good person. What matters is if they're born again. I wasn't a great person, but I was a good person. I really never hurt anybody but myself for the most part. I broke a few hearts in my day. I don't know if that's bad. I'm just kidding. Come on. But the idea of, you know, we try to measure everything based on everybody else, but that's why it goes back to God's word. We're not good enough for God. That's why Jesus came. But see, God's a final judge. See, we can only judge the actions, but God judges the people by their heart. And see, that's what really needs to change, a changed heart. Now, I want to get to some good news here. And this is what happens when a saint dies. So this is about the death of a saint. You know, a saint means a born-again Christian. Now, I got saved November 5th, 1983. And I remember, and I was radically born again. I mean, it was powerful. But in the back of my mind, I had nagging thoughts. Anybody had nagging thoughts about, you know, am I really going to heaven? I know those things bug me as a baby Christian. Well, then I found a scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know," that was the key, "so that you may know you have eternal life." I remember where I was sitting. I was sitting in a restaurant as you face the cook place up there. I was sitting about probably 7 o'clock in the table. I remember everything about it. I can picture it in my mind right now when I found this scripture that really gave me peace and joy in my heart. And I hope that's going to help you today if you have nagging thoughts. If you're born again, this scripture's for you. See, God wants us to know that we have eternal life because it takes all that fear and doubt away. And I don't believe the Lord wants Christians running around the earth afraid, wondering if we're going to go to heaven. I don't believe He wants that. We have a Father that loves us. And He wants us to understand this concept of what it means to have, you know, the security that He came to give us when Jesus Christ, you know, paid our price. See, the Word is God's Word, and that's why we need to follow it. See, God doesn't judge a Christian. I hope this maybe helps you. God doesn't judge Christians based on our mistakes. God judges Christians based on Christ's blood. Everybody here, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do wrong things. We're going to say wrong things. We're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We're going to fail God. That's just part of being, you know, in this body that hasn't totally been renewed yet. And God wants us to know that He's not going to judge us by our mistakes. Yes, we need to repent of them and turn from them, ask God for His grace and His help in our life. But we need to understand we've already been judged. And the blood of Jesus was good enough. And we need that revelation in our heart. That God says that we have eternal life now. You don't have to stand before the great right throne. God has a great plan and it gets a little better. See, when I was a baby Christian, I don't know what you were like, but I just knew enough to be dangerous. And I was dangerous. You know, I would go out and blab off stuff I knew and some of the dots weren't connected yet. You know, praise God, just stay in the Word and you'll get her figured out. Okay, now, to get to really understanding what happens to a Christian, you know, when we die. Going to look at two closing scriptures. First one's found in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. This is post-cross, right? So this is talking about, you know, Jesus has already died on the cross and risen from the dead. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8 says, "Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Then in Philippians, Paul says, "But I am hard pressed from both directions, and having the desire to depart and be with Christ, that is far much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for you." So here Paul's saying, hey, it's better that I stick around because I can help you in your walk with God. But if I go, I go immediately, instantaneously in the presence of God. There is no Hades for the Christian. There is no holding place where we have to wait. Now, a little side thought. When Jesus died and rose from the again, it says that He led captivity captive in Romans 10, I believe. But what happened there then is Jesus emptied out that holding place in Hades where the good saints were, and He took them to heaven with Him. So God wants us to be in his presence. And see, it's instant access. And see, the cross changed everything. New way, new rules, new life. And we don't have to wait. And so that's why it's important that we get this stuff straightened out now. It's not too hard. It's easy to do. See, the inner man, the spirit and soul go directly to heaven. Now, Revelation chapter 14, 13 says, blessed and happy are those who die in the Lord. So, deep down inside, every believer, I've ministered to a lot of people, especially some people in some nursing homes. They just pray and pray they can leave this body and go to be with Jesus. I remember one lady back when I did radio ministry, and I'd go out and visit her out here at the care center. And she was in terrible arthritic pain. And for a long time, she just prayed and prayed, you know, that God would take her. And finally, he did. And that pain was over. She was happy to be able to go and be with the Lord. Now, eternity is a long time. And we don't want to miss out. So what we need to do in closing is we need to make sure, number one, that we save ourselves. In the sense that we surrender our life to Christ. And then after we do that, God challenges us that we should go forth and to be able to save others. Eternity is a long, long time. And that's why we need to make sure. So death is going to visit us all. Everybody's going to face it from time to time. And we need to prepare for the life to come. You know, don't leave your friends and family wondering. You know, surrender your life today. And I believe, you know, God is going to use you in a mighty way. I know the opportunities that God has put out there. I mean, we miss some of them. I know I'm not throwing heaping coals. I mean, we all miss out. In the sense that I believe we all could probably pray a little bit more for our lost loved ones. I know I could step up my game, you know. And also, I believe I could probably be a little more vocal in my faith. You know, being able to, you know, share the truth in love. Being able to, you know, share some scriptures. Invite people to church, you know, so they can be ministered to. You know, that's all important that we should do as believers. You know, I encourage you, maybe set a goal this year of bringing one person to church and to be able to get them in and, you know, we'll get them discipled. And then maybe they could reach another person. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I wanted to share this. Every year or so I like to talk about this subject just so that we have a working knowledge. I don't want you to go out into the world and when somebody says, oh, I don't believe there's a hell. Because if they don't believe there's a hell, that means they probably don't believe they need to get their life right with God. And that's a dangerous thought, isn't it? Amen? Let's pray.